All right, Alexander, we need to talk about Angela Merkel and Germany's open borders policy, which doesn't seem to be slowing down even during this corona crisis. Let me take you to Summit News, an article that Paul Joseph Watson wrote. You sent me this article via WhatsApp. You also sent me an article via Robert Bridge on Sputnik, who also covers this story as well. But let me take you to Summit News. And the title of this article reads, Germany closes border to Europeans, but migrants still allowed in. Refugee red carpet will continue despite global pandemic. Aside from exemptions for people from France, Luxembourg, and Switzerland who are providing essential services, German authorities closed the country's border to all foreign citizens last week. However, according to the German Ministry of the Interior, so-called asylum seekers, a catch-all term that basically describes economic migrants fleeing from the Middle East and Africa, are still welcome. Quote, at Germany's EU external borders, airports, and seaports, there has been no change in the asylum procedure, a representative of the Ministry of the Interior told Jungfreiheit. Alexander, what do you make of this policy?
Well, I mean, it's again Merkelism in action. It is this ideological obsession with, I can only call it virtue signaling. I mean, it's this desire you can't stop. You can stop people coming in. You can stop them crossing your borders. You can give up on free movement within the EU, because this is now becoming a very toxic issue, obviously, in Germany, given the fact that Germany is now way down with infections. I mean, they're growing in Germany at an accelerating, ever-accelerating rate. But you can't stop on admitting refugees from the Middle East and Africa and wherever, presumably because if you did, that would somehow contradict the policy that Merkel announced and imposed on the European Union in 2015, and would be an effective admission that she was somehow wrong. So they're sticking to this bizarre policy of opening the doors to people from outside the EU, while at the same time closing the doors to people within the EU. I mean, it's becoming a complete, it's becoming almost absurd. I mean, not almost, it is absurd. It's becoming a house of the absurd. And it's so strange that there doesn't seem to be an understanding within the German government of quite how absurd this is. What Germany needs to do at this point is say very straightforwardly, look, this is a crisis. This is an emergency. Germany is not in a position to take anybody. That's what China is doing. That's what Russia is doing. That's what all sorts of countries around the world are doing. And, we might want to consider people in future, but we cannot take them now, because the whole thing requires restrictions on movement. And if Merkel was doing her job properly, she ought to have used the G20 summit on Thursday, which she apparently barely condescended to become involved in. Remember, she is in quarantine. But she should have said, we need controls on movement, not just within the European Union, but around the world. And we at the G20 ought to be agreeing on those and how we're going to, help and contain people and put them in your holding places until this crisis is over. But of course, that's not what she does. And it's not what Merkel ever does. So we get into this extraordinary situation where Germany is admitting people, many of them from places which are unquestionably infection hotspots, where the infection will be running out of control. There'll be, and Germany still takes them at the same time as it refuses to take people from Italy or France or Austria, presumably, or wherever. So it just goes to show how bizarre this situation has become. I mean, I'm going to say something. I mean, Merkel is, I've noticed that her fan club is now back in action. There was an extraordinary article about her in the Financial Times, which was straight out of North Korean propaganda almost. It was, the almost, the great leader stuff. I mean, it really was bizarre, that she's this great crisis manager, this cool and calm person, the mutty figure who speaks to the German people in their hour of need and reassures them that everything is out of control. It obviously is not under control. Things are just, we've just done a video on this. Things throughout the European Union are falling apart. And she is, once again, part of the problem. She didn't prepare Germany for this crisis in any effective way. She's failed to put Germany in a position where it can provide support and help to its EU partners in places like Italy and Spain. At the same time, she won't allow, she's closing down the Schengen borders, which, by the way, she had to do. But she's not prepared to give up on this threadbare, absurd element of her policy, which is closing down Europe's borders. Because can I just say something else, just one last point? If Germany advertises the fact that it is still accepting refugees from Africa and Asia and the Middle East, those people will come. Not just to, they will be attracted, not just to Germany, but to Europe also. They will be coming to Greece, they'll be coming to Italy, they'll be coming to Spain, and it will be the authorities in these countries who will have to deal with them. It's both virtue signaling and it's selfish virtue signaling.
Where are the political parties, the opposition, to just tell Merkel enough? Or even within her own party to just say enough. Going through a pandemic, this is enough. Because I can't understand thinking either. You close off your borders to other European Union members, which I understand that, rightly so. It's a pandemic. You have to close your borders.
Yes.
You have to get control of this thing. But you leave it open to outsiders, people from outside of the European Union.
Yes.
It's almost like she's looking to destroy Germany on purpose. But where are the Germans? Where's the German political class on this?
I mean, can I just say, I mean, these are also people who in some ways are difficult to control. I mean, they are people who are not accustomed to accepting regulations from the government of Germany.
Some may not even have passports.
Some of them may not even have passports. So, I mean, they will come into Germany. There's apparently already been problems in one particular camp within Germany when one person was found infected and quarantine regulations were imposed on the others, and there's about 500 of them. And of course, these people unsurprisingly rioted because that's not what they'd expected to be. And the riot police had to be brought in. This is in Germany, in order to control them. So you would have expected that there would be a huge uproar about this in Germany. But this is the other thing that's happening during the period of this crisis, is that politics is becoming suspended everywhere. So Merkel is able to continue making these extraordinary and very strange decisions. And some of the political pressure at the moment is off her. We saw that, as I said, with this bizarre article that's appeared in the Financial Times, which just a few weeks ago was recognizing that she had become the problem rather than the solution. It was talking about her time being up. And now, as I said, we're back to her being the great leader who can do no wrong, even as she's creating havoc and doing disaster, as she always has been doing all around her. So we have back to the stasis, the paralysis in Europe that is what Merkel embodies. She's not prepared to she's not prepared to look at solutions that might actually start solving problems. She insists on sticking with bailout provisions for the broken economies of Southern Europe, and at the same time, she won't compromise on her refugee policy. So it's Merkel carrying on as before, and the European political class sitting back and letting her do it, as they always have done.
Yeah, the neoliberal media, Alexander, they don't have any more neoliberal globalist heroes. I mean, the Obama Rat Pack now essentially consists of Trudeau and Merkel. Everyone else
is gone. Trudeau and Merkel.
And
I mean,
And Trudeau has even Trudeau has conceded, and people from Canada, you can correct me if I'm wrong, everyone that's hearing this from Canada, I believe Trudeau has even conceded for now that open borders out of the question.
Well,
all you have left is Merkel, so that's who they're going to prop up.
Yeah. Well, Trudeau has bowed to reality. Merkel is insisting on closed borders within the European Union to other Europeans and open borders for refugees. And Macron he wants open borders in every respect. As I understand it, he still wants to have the refugees coming to France. And he also wants to defend the Schengen agreements. He wants open borders within Europe still. So, I mean, Macron is even more fervid in this respect than Merkel is. But Merkel continues to be the dominant force in European affairs. I mean, she is becoming increasingly, the comparison I always make is with Metternich, who was the Austrian Chancellor at the start of the 19th century, who eventually led the Habsburg Empire to collapse because he kept things exactly still and he prevented all evolution. And it all ended, if you know your history, in 1848 with revolutions right across Europe. So that's what Merkel is doing, it seems to me.
Can you find any logic in this? I mean, is there any political win for this?
Well, there's no.
I can't find any angle in this whatsoever.
There is no win. There is no win ultimately for anyone. I mean, this policy is, as I said, going to bring everything. It's going to accelerate the fact that things are going to go crashing down. I mean, Italians. Let's look at Italy. Italy is absolutely furious with the situation in Europe at the moment. They've not had the support that they expected or demanded or were entitled to expect, given that they've been a member of the European Union and a member of the Euro, and they've abided strictly with all the terms that have been imposed on them and have seen their economy stagnate and their health systems hollowed out so that they're not really in a position to cope with the crisis that they now face. Anyway, the Italians are furious, and at the same time, they are one of the frontline states where migrants and refugees are concerned. And they find Merkel continuing to say publicly, well, not her personally, but her officials, yes, migrants are still welcome, even though she must know that they will pass through Italy. So most of them will want to go to Germany, but they will arrive in Italy first. And it'll be the Italians who will have to deal with them. So the Italians must be absolutely furious about this. They're angry anyway, because they're not getting the economic support they were looking for. They're not getting the health support they were looking for. What they must be seeing increasingly is that Merkel is simply loading them with more problems.
Unbelievable. Speechless. No. Speechless.
Well, yes.
She's not going away, is she?
No,
I don't see her going away.
When I talked to you about this Financial Times article, the person who is behind articles like this is Merkel herself. She's extremely adept at this form of public relations. She has various people from the Chancellery building in Berlin. By the way, I was in Berlin a couple of weeks ago before the crisis really came. And if you see the Chancellery in Berlin, it's bigger than the White. It's much bigger than the White House. It is huge. It's the biggest government prime minister's state leader's office and residence, I believe, in the world. I think only Erdogan's compares with it. It's enormous. She has huge numbers of officials working for her. And one of the things they do is that they plant these kind of articles for her in sections of the European media. When I read that article in the Financial Times, I said to myself, her people are back at work, and it means that she's determined to stay.
God help us all.
God help us all. Well, Germany first and foremost, because to be very clear, Germany is the country which ultimately is going to pay the biggest price for Angela Merkel.
All right. Alexander Mercurius, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Make sure you are still subscribed to the channel because YouTube, once again, is unsubscribing people who are subscribed to our channel without letting you know that they are unsubscribing you. Also, go to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar, and please donate to us there. Your donation really helps out this channel a lot. And go to The Duran Shop, pick up some merchandise. We've got magic mugs. We have got polo shirts. We've got ebooks. We've got all kinds of good stuff. Alexander.
Indeed, sir. And can I first of all say that I have been corrected by Vera. She actually emailed me some time ago, but I'm afraid I get so many emails. I only just now caught up with it. And she's pointed out that this mug, one of our amazing and wonderful and superb magic mugs, the one I use least because my wife loves it. It's her favorite, and it's essentially her mug. Anyway, this magic mug, I've been saying that these are the coat of arms of Moscow. Vera has correctly pointed out that they are, in fact, the coat of arms of the Russian Federation. Moscow does not have the double-headed eagle. That is the Russian coat of arms. It is St. George, though, slaying the dragon of fake news and untruth. And can I say, Vera, I saw your surname. I presume that you are related to the great family of which one of its progenies is Peter the Great. So that has been extremely exciting and wonderful to get your email. And I stand corrected, as I always say when I am. So one of these amazing mugs, you can drink coffee, hot chocolate, tea from it, and keep it warm. Or you can have your beer and your champagne from it, and that will keep it cold. It is the best mug. These are the best mugs I've ever had. I'm not just saying that because they are the Duran mugs. I am saying that as a world expert on the subject of coffee mugs. I have been literally through thousands in my lifetime. And can I just say, it is unique and unprecedented that I should go through a set of mugs for over a year without breaking or chipping a single one. I am one of the most careless and absent-minded people you can come across. These mugs are all in pristine condition, and that shows you how beautifully well they are made, how strong and light they are, and how perfect they are in every respect. So you will not only get a great mug if you buy one with the coat of arms of the Russian Federation in this case, but you will also get an exceptionally strong and light mug too. So they're the best mugs in the business. And these are also the best polo shirts in the business. The one that I'm wearing now, I'm very destructive, by the way. I destroy things continuously. I'm one of these people who shoes, whatever, clothes, whatever, mugs too, and shirts. And this shirt I've been wearing lots, because it is so stylish, and I love wearing it because it's the epitome of smart casual. It's 100% cotton, but it is also incredibly well preserved, hard wearing. I've been wearing it for over a year now, and that shows how well put together it is, how beautifully, beautifully stitched together, and that's a sign of quality. So you have amazing polo shirts. You also have amazing t-shirts, and I can say exactly the same thing about those. I've got both long-sleeved and short-sleeved t-shirts. There's also v-neck shirts. There's hats, hoodies, and stickers, all of amazing quality. And you can also get the most wonderful ebooks on Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Brexit, and Epstein, which are so informative on our shop. And can I also say that the person who helped us write these books, Paul, we support you. We would say you do a wonderful job. And anybody who wants to get something like that transcribed, they should go to him. Alex will provide you the details at the bottom of our he will explain exactly where you can find him. And in these hard times, he needs help. So do we all. And we are delighted to give him what support we can.
All right. You will find the link for the Durant Shop in the description box down below. You'll find a link to Paul's services with Easy Virtual Assistance down below. He does a great job with the ebooks. And we have a couple of more ebooks coming up. Alexander, we're going to have an ebook on the corona as well. We've done a lot of stories and we have more ebooks on the way.
We do.
So stay tuned for that. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.